All right, so we are continuing our series called what? The Overcoming Life. And this morning I want to talk about the subject of healing. We're going to be turning in our Bibles to Isaiah. Now, Isaiah is a prophetic book. It talks about, what do they call that? The messianic prophecies, which basically prophesies about the coming of Jesus, about his life on this earth, and Isaiah's full of them. And so we are going to look at Isaiah 53, and we'll start in verse 3. But there's some things I want to pull out. There's a difference between healing and a miracle. Hello? There's a big difference, and I don't think the body of Christ really recognizes as a whole the difference between healing and a miracle. Because when we will use the word, God healed me when God performed a miracle. Yes, healing was involved in that, but it was a miracle. Instantaneous is a miracle. When it happens instantly, when you have a sickness and instantly are healed, that is a miracle. And God performs miracles in many subjects, in many areas of our life. Yes, healing's one of them. It could be in our job. It can be with our vehicles. I remember, this was beautiful. One time in our children's church, they were teaching on miracles and healings, and you can lay hands on the sick and they recover. Well, there was a young kid in there that took that to heart, went home, and he said in his own mind, he's like, my little scooter motorcycle deal has been sick. It is broken. It needs to be healed. He went outside, prayed for it in the name of Jesus, and he was riding it around the yard. His mother knew it was broken. She went outside and said, hey, this is broken. What happened? He said, well, in children's church, they told me I could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. My motorcycle was sick. I laid hands on it and it has recovered. And he was just driving around, and she told me the testimony. She's like, that thing has not been running for over a year that I know of. We've tried, and we just put it in the junk pile and expected it to, rot until we finally got rid of it, rust up and disappear. I'm going to tell you something. That is a miracle. That's really not healing. That has really nothing to do with healing. It is a miracle. And so God can do miracles in many subjects, and healing is one of them. So if we pray for you and instantly there's a change in your body, that's not healing. That's a miracle. Healing is something that takes time. And why is there a difference? I have no idea. Because what do we want as humans? We want the miracle. That's what I want. I want the miracle. But Jesus, if you need to spit on me, dunk me in water, whatever you need to do, let's do it. Let's get it now. But there's been things in my life that has been a process that he leads and guides and directs me in. And we're going to discuss those differences. And we're going to talk about mainly healing, not the miracle side of it. We're going to talk about healing in these messages today. And so have you found Isaiah 53? Excellent. And so we're going to read in verse 3, and we're going to go to verse 5. He was despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten, chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Now notice that this says we were healed. This is prophesying about the future. We were healed at that very moment. Now there's another scripture that says we are healed. And so I love this. I've heard this one time. I don't remember who said it, but I took it and took it as my own. But if we were and we are, we is. We were, we are. There's no other way in my mind to put that we is. And so what happens a lot of times in the body of Christ, because it didn't happen the way we thought it was going to happen. Because it didn't happen as a miracle. Because we hear healing and we think of the miracle signs and wonder. I'm going to get prayed for and the Lord's going to just reach right in my body, snatch everything out, and my body's going to be made whole. Glory, hallelujah. That can happen. But that is a miracle. That is a miracle. That's not healing. That's a miracle. Healing is walking something out. Healing is hearing from the Lord, obeying him. And because of our obedience, we begin to line up with the things of God. Now, I want to share a story with you. I remember one time I was very sick. I mean, just unbelievably sick. This was, I haven't been in Wisconsin too long. And I remember, Lord, I prayed. I prayed for healing. Nothing's changed. What is going on here? This is different. I don't understand why I am still very, very, very sick. And to the point of a lot of stuff coming out of me. So I just began to pray and said, God, I don't understand why I'm still sick. I prayed, hick. I will never probably get rid of hickness, but sickness I can live without. And so I remember going before the Lord and saying, I don't get this, Lord. I don't get this. And I even searched my heart. Do I have unforgiveness, Lord? Do I have bitterness in my heart? Because that can be a sign. Do I have too much stress on me, Lord? Am I not believing you in an area? Am I worrying about something? So I began to search my life in those areas, and I couldn't come up with anything. Couldn't come up with anything at all. And so now I go back to the scripture of where the disciple said, either in the body or out of the body, I do not know. I had a moment of in the body or out of the body, I do not know. I don't know where I was. I don't know if I was awake. I don't know if I was asleep. I don't know if it was a dream. I don't know if it was a vision. I really don't remember. And it was just boom, I was in a place. So all of a sudden, I'm in a room. And it is white as far as I can see, and it hazes out. And I'm sitting. I'm actually sitting at a table. There are chairs. This table goes as long as I can see both ways. And there's chairs lined up all the way down. And I'm sitting. And a person on the other side of the table who I could never see their face. It was just like a cloud, like I could see. And then it hazed out into white. And I remember this person said to me, "You're wondering why you're sick." And I go, "Yes, I am." That person sit down at the table. That person moved their hand across the table. And when they moved their hand across the table, a plate appeared. And it said, 2 weeks ago you ate this. And he said, we're going to go over everything you've eaten for the last 2 weeks. And every meal he began to tell me what I was missing. He began to tell me there were certain things that I was missing in my diet, certain things that I was missing doing, certain things. And then, this was beauty, he said, let's talk about your sleep. I said, okay. He says, and you're staying, because at that time, I was working for a ministry very early on, and, you know, pay wasn't good, so you got to do whatever you need to do, whatever jobs you got to have to make things work. You got to do it. You got to live. You got to eat. You've got to function. And so I'm doing everything, and I'm working all night long to fix things, to upgrade websites, and they had a newsletter, and I worked on the newsletter, and my spelling would be wrong, and then they would send me back, and then I'd have to fix something, and it was just a mess, and it was all night long, and I couldn't stand it. I really, the hours were just terrible. And deadlines had to be met. And so I remember all this, and it told me about my lack of sleep and something I didn't even know was possible. I didn't even know this. When someone used the word minerals, I thought that was something my grandma put in her bathtub. That's my idea. And the person on the other side of the table says, and you're missing these minerals. And then began to tell me what I needed to do immediately to change. What I needed to do immediately. And they said, purify your blood. They said, purify your blood of pollutants. I can't even speak, but you know what I'm saying. Said, purify my blood. Start eating and putting something different and start getting rest. And the last words that they told me was, if you do not do these things, you will die before your time. And they said, many ministers treat their body like they're immortal when they're in a mortal being. You're in mortality. This flesh is a mortal being. It will die. The spirit has been made alive to live forever. You truly will not die. To close your eyes here is to open them in heaven. To take your last breath here is to take your first in heaven. You will not die, because what Christ has done for you, you will not die. You just move from one spot to the other, and it's instantaneous. And can I tell you this? People who are afraid of death, there comes a point in death that you feel no pain. So there's people who are so afraid of dying. But we see this in the Bible. Oh, death, where is your sting? God has taken the sting of death away. Can I tell you, I'm not afraid to die because I've been close to dying more than once. I split my leg open from my knee to my ankle to the bone, laid open, blood running everywhere. My mother was, I ran to her for everything. I still do. If I'm scared, I'm like, Mommy, where's my mommy? Okay, I'll tell you this story. This is ridiculous. We are so far off, y'all, and it's your fault. But in Tulsa, in Bible school, I had a fireplace. It was metal. She's laughing because she knows this story. It was metal. They painted my fireplace with paint that was not for a fireplace. So it was the first cold night. I was so excited. I opened the flute, got the fire going, and I went to bed. Well, you know what happened? That fireplace got hot, and it burned the paint off of the fireplace, filled my house with toxic fumes, carbon monoxide, filled my house with it. I wake up to the fire alarm going off. I'm coughing like crazy. I jump up. I grab my cell phone. I run outside, and I'm calling my mother as I'm running down the stairs. In Florida. I'm in Oklahoma. I call her, and I'm like, Mom, my apartment's full of smoke, and I'm running, and I open the door, and just as soon as I get outside, fresh air hits me. My whole world begins to spin, and I collapse to the ground. And I finally come to, and I hear my mother screaming, Baby! Baby! Whip, are you okay, baby? Baby, baby! And she's screaming. I finally grab her. I'm all right. She's like, is your apartment burning down? And I look in, and I can see that the fire is still in the fireplace. So it hasn't spread. I'm like, no, I don't know what's wrong. And so then I could start to see the paint peeling, you know, the paint peeling off of the fireplace. And I said, I think it's just the paint. And Mom goes, have you called 911? I'm like, no, I'm on the phone with you. And she's like, hang up with me. If you need the fire department, you call the fire department. She's like, baby, I'm on my way. And this, I don't know what time this is, like 1 or 2 in the morning. I know y'all ain't like this, but 1 or 2 in the morning, my mother gets up, gets my sister, they pack their clothes, they get in the car, and they drive to Oklahoma through the night. My mama came to my rescue. That's who I run to. Because I know my mother will be there. I mean, that was the first thought. I'm in panic mode. I'm also probably 19, and the first thing I think of is call my mama. My mama will make this right. And so you're asking, what in the world does this have to do with anything? So in all of this, when I was sick, there were things I needed to do to get my life right, to get my body in submission unto God. I want to tell another story. We had a minister. Now, this was not under Spirit of Faith. I mean, our church, but this was under Spirit of Faith. I had a minister visiting that was not preaching, and we went downtown to eat. And I guarantee you that if I said this person's name, a lot of you would know who it was. We're sitting at a table. And the person told me, he says, you know, God showed up to my room last year. I said, yeah? He said, yeah, he told me something. I said, what did he tell you? He said, well, if I don't change something in my life, I won't make it before my, and he said a number birthday. I said, well, how old are you? And he was the year before that birthday. I said, well, have you changed it? He said, I've tried, but I don't know. It's been a part of my life for so long. And I said, well, do you mind if I ask what this is? He said, yeah, you can ask. I said, then what is it? He goes, it's eating. The Lord told me that I have to get my body in line and I have to have discipline. But he's like, Tim, I grew up eating very comfort food. And he said, we didn't get a lot, so it didn't really affect me. But then once prosperity hit, I never changed the way I eat. I just changed the amount that I put in. And he's like, and then I've just lived this way. And it's so part of my life that if I'm happy, it's food. If I'm sad, it's food. If I'm celebrating, it's food. If I'm watching a movie, it's about the food. He's like, everything I do centers around food. And I don't know if I can change it. And I remember telling him, you can change it. God would never tell you to do something that you cannot do. You can do it. I believe in you. He died 3 months before that birthday. 3 months before that birthday. Now, God will always warn us, always give us. And so healing is something we do in line with God. Miracles are something that happen instantaneous. Let me tell you something else. I know a lady, and she's very aware of this and very aware of it, and not here, no one looking around, not here. But this lady, knees were bad. And she's been prayed for and has had multiple healings of her knees where she could walk again. But with time, her knees always got bad again. And I remember praying, Lord, why is this? Why does this sister constantly have bad knee problems? God heals her, and then it comes back. Lord, and I'm thinking devil. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the devil is coming, and he's attaching himself, and he leads for a period of time, and he comes back, and he attacks her faith, and he gets her knees again. And the Lord, just in my own heart, I heard, I have been on her for several times, about losing weight, and her knees would stay healed. And I could keep having a miracle, but until she does what I've told her to do, it will always go back. And I went to her with that information, and she cried. And she said, I know that to be true. And the person today can't walk because they did not do. See, I'm going to tell you something. Healing is more with us. Miracles are more with God. And there's two sides to this. Now, look, I want to be very clear. You are not to get legalistic. You know me about food. I love me some good food. I love it fried. I love it grilled. I love it all kinds of way. I like it juicy. I like it, I've always said why vegetables taste bad. You want to know why vegetables taste bad? There's vitamins in there. That's why they taste bad. You got to throw cheese on it and all that other stuff to eat it. Now, some of you grew up eating well, and that's good. But what I do not want you to do is get legalistic in this. Just do what God tells you to do. And can I tell you something? My mother, most of you know her testimony. She was diagnosed with cancer. She had surgery, got the cancer out of her. On recommendations from her doctor, get it out. Get it out of your body. Get it out now. Get it out fast. Do it. Get it out. Now, they wanted her to go through chemo and radiation and all this stuff, but she said in her own heart, nope, that's not what I'm supposed to do. And she didn't do it. Now, how many years are we now, Mom? So since 2009, we're coming into our 10th year, 9 years. Yay. Y'all can give her a hand. That's exciting. Yes, 9 years cancer-free. No radiation. The doctors have just been, whatever, but she followed the Lord. Now, I remember speaking to my mother. There were many times this journey was not easy. This journey, we've cried on the phone more than once. There was a time that right after surgery, she had a tube coming out of her body, and she woke up in bed surrounded by blood. Not a good day, a very scary day, a day of panic. And when you hear the word cancer, it can knock you to your knees. Fear can grip your heart if you allow it. And so once she was on the other side and healed, I said, now, Mom, now God let her. She changed her eating habits. She became very healthy in some things that she did. But I told her, I said, now, Mom, let me even tell this. This is interesting. She went on sugar. I mean, just no sugar whatsoever because she read that it feeds cancer. That's what she read. Well, there came a point that her doctor said, honey, you have to have some sugar. Your brain eat. That's food for your brain. Now, don't go crazy. Pour the bag in your mouth and don't depress it, but get it through natural stuff. But get it. Your body has to have it. And so she put sugar back into her body. Because if you listen to everybody and everything out there, you'll go bankrupt, one, buying everybody's pH balance of your body and this and healing and that. And the Aztecs never died of cancer. And it was because they were killed by each other. They didn't have enough time to live to get cancer. They were dying at like 19. They never even got old enough to die of cancer. They died of natural causes, a stick right through the heart by other tribes. I mean, so we look like these people, and if you listen to everything out there, you will go bankrupt. You will. You'll go just nuts. So you can't listen to everything out there. But what you can do is listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And so I told Mom, I said, Mom, now this is going to be the temptation. People are going to come to you because they have cancer and they need to be healed of cancer. And this is going to be the temptation. The temptation is that you're going to say, if you eat like this and you change your diet like this and you run this amount of time every day and get all this, that this is the way you will receive your healing. And I told her, I said, now that may be the way God moved with you, and that may be the answer for you. She walked out her healing, not a miracle of healing, but she walked out her healing listening to the Holy Spirit. So let's not get legalistic and tell people if they walk around the wall 7 times quiet and then shout that the walls will come down. The key is to follow what God has said. He spit on somebody one time. He told the whole group of people to walk around a wall and shout one time. He never did those things again. The key is not in the A to B to C to D. The key is listening and obeying. I pray to the good Lord Jesus that he never says, Tim, give up fried chicken and fried foods. I pray that that is never the case. You want to know why? I love fried chicken. But if he says it, then we're going to have to do something different. I'm praying that if he ever says something like, Tim, just calm it down to once a week. That would be all right. That's a prophecy, Yashamba, that I can go with. But the key is not in the actions of the doing. It's in the obedience to what he says. It's in the obedience. So God will speak to your heart. And God will tell you what to do. And God will lead you. And see, this is the crazy thing. Anytime we begin to walk in something, we believe everybody should be doing this. When we come to a new church, like our church, and it's so amazing, and the pastor is so great and beautiful, and the praise team, and just everybody is just so amazing. Yeah, you go, everybody, you should come to our church. It's the greatest church on the face of the earth. All the other churches fail in comparison.
Come on.
But it's because you're where you're called to be. Like, you don't even notice the carpet and the tile and the popcorn that the kids drop. It doesn't even affect you, but a new person comes in and is like, oh, my God. I'm going to a prettier church. You know, and for you, you can't even see the mistakes. You can't even see the problems. Why? Because you're where you're called to be. And you just believe everybody should do what you do. It's human nature that we want people to be like us, go where we go, be, you know, do what we do. I found this new exciting thing God is doing with me, and I want everybody a part of it. Every evangelist thinks that the evangelist is the greatest gift known to mankind. Every prophet believes that the all churches would die without them. Every pastor believes that their gift is the greatest. Every apostle believes all of it would go to hell if it wasn't for them. All the giftings emphasize what they're doing. Why? Because it's what they're doing. It's what they're focused on. And so sometimes when we're walking out our healing and God tells us something, I've used this example before, but I had a pastor come to me and say, Tim, you better give up coffee. God spoke to me. He told me to give up coffee. And I'm telling you, you better give up coffee in the name of Jesus. And I looked at him and I said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, I shall not live by bread alone, but by the coffee I dunk that bread into. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There may be a problem with this heart. There's so many things that coffee can affect. And if God speaks to you to give up coffee, he's speaking to you to give up coffee. He's not speaking to the whole world to give up coffee. And so do what God has told you to do. Be faithful in that and you'll walk out your healing. But the problem is, and there are things, can I tell you this? There are things doctors would tell you, and if you don't get a no in your heart, follow it. I'm so thankful for doctors. And I'll tell y'all this. I wouldn't plan on announcing, but we'll announce it right now. Because I don't want you to think, because I've heard people talk about like, well, if I do that, that's against faith. I don't want to take medicine, and I love medicine. Medicine is wonderful. I'm so thankful for the advancements of mankind. Who do you think gave us all this stuff on the earth to use? It was the good Lord Jesus. And I'm thankful he gave us cows to eat steak and hamburger. I'm thankful for that. It could just be manna. He could rain manna down every day. And that's what we could eat and be fine. But I'm thankful he gave us everything, the fish and all this stuff, and pecans to crust, you know, put in that fish and fry them with. It's wonderful. You know, and the jerk and all that stuff. It's just fantastic. I'm thankful. But medicine is not, you know, most medicine, you better take it in faith. Because if you, one of the advertisement for the drugs, one of the side effects, it's like a migraine or something. One of the side effects, sudden death. I'm like, headache. Sudden death, headache. Well, I guess I definitely would step away from the headache. That wouldn't affect me anymore, but sudden death is the result. You better take, if you're subscribed something, you better take it in faith. Hello? So that you don't, and can I tell you something else? When you, this is something that I was going to share. I haven't really talked about it. It hasn't been a big problem for me. I haven't needed to talk about it. I haven't been afraid. And someone's asked me that knew about it, don't you think you should call the church and have them pray for you? I'm like, no. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm covered. I believe that this is taken care of. Not a faith statement, not me fear gripping my heart. I'm like, we got this. We're good. And so not too long ago, there was a spot on my chest that the doctor said has to come off. So they cut it off, and then they gave me the report. Everything's benign. 2 weeks later, they're like, why haven't you called us? We've got to get you in as soon as we can. We got to get this. This is bad. There was no clean skin. It's severe something, 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 novus. I don't know. Four words. I can't remember what it was. And they said, we got to get this. This is dangerous. We got to get this. And I said, all right. I prayed about it. I feel good. Let's go get it. We'll go have them cut me open, take it, and we'll be fine. So I went and I had the surgery, and it's gone. Now, I got a 3-inch and a 3.5-inch scar right here on my chest. Someone asked me, how do you feel? I said, I feel like someone stabbed me in the chest. That's what I feel like. And then they gave me, how dare they do that and not give me any stronger medication than ibuprofen. Anyway, they said they're trying to rein in the drug habits of people. I'm like, I'm a pastor. This is the only drugs I get. that's a joke. Y'all can laugh at that. So in this, they got it all. They got it all, and I am perfectly fine. And I've had, in the past, people said, well, if I got surgery, don't you think that's not faith? No, I went in with faith. And what's beautiful is I knew the doctor, and I didn't know I knew him. I didn't even know that's what he did. And when he walks in the room, I'm like, oh, I know you. He's a Christian. Not only he's a part of a church plant in Madison. Not only that, but he's on the board of some Christian school. And our kids play soft pitch together. And he coached on the team. And so I'm like, you're here. He's like, oh, yeah. So we got to talk about God and what God is doing. And not only that, but how God works through all this stuff. And not only medication, but homeopathic ways and things of this nature. And so in all of this, I went and got it out. And this is what's beautiful. He says, when we start the surgery, you can look the other way. I said, look the other way. I said, if I'm awake and you're cutting me, I'm watching you. Yeah. I ain't looking no other way. I'm watching. And when you pull it out, I want to see it. You ain't pulling something out of my body that I don't see. So then he pulls it out and he shows me like, duh, duh, duh. He says, and this under here is fat. I said, calm down, doctor. I'm working on that. I laughed. I don't think he really thought it was funny, but I thought it was funny. And so what was that? I needed to have that done. I went in. I felt that was the right way. I thought, just in praying, I felt fine with everything. And so this is what I want to tell you. If your doctor says something and you don't have a check in your heart that God is saying no, it's fine. And can I tell you something else? Let me give you another example. Jesse was pregnant with Lucy, and the cord was wrapped around Lucy's neck, and every contraction, every push was choking Lucy, and her heartbeat was dropping to a dangerous level. And they're tracking this, and they tell us, all right, we've got to prep you. We got to prep you for a C-section. We got to get ready, and I'm going to go prep. And the doctor goes, and Jesse looks at me, and she says, I don't want a C-section. Can I tell them why we didn't talk about this? I'm going to tell them why. It's fine. She's good. Normally, I try to talk about stuff that's kind of a little private. But, whatever. The whole reason she refused and did not want a C-section is because when you get a C-section, you can't eat. You can't eat afterwards. So you're fed through a tube. And she's like, I am hungry. And when I get this baby out of me, you're going to go get me something to eat. And I just said, yes, ma'am. And so she looks at me and she says, Tim, I don't want a C-section.
What are we to do? And I just was there for a moment, and I asked the Lord, Lord, do we have to have a C-section? And I just heard in my heart, no. No, you don't have to have one. And I go, okay, but if we do, would it be a sin? And I heard very clear, no, it wouldn't be a sin. There are some times that God just gives us a choice of what decision we're going to make. And I told Jesse, I said, you don't have to have one. You don't have to. I just heard from God, you don't have to have a C-section. And she said, but the doctor's going prepping. They prepped me. We're ready to go. How do we not do it? I said, look, I just heard the message. I don't know the instructions. I don't know how to not have a C-section. I just heard you don't have to have one. The doctor comes in, and she's got her scrubs on. She's got the gloves on. She says, okay, let's go. And she stopped, and she said, I'll tell you what. Let's push one more time. And if we don't see any movement, then we're on our way right now. Jesse had Lucy in less than 5 minutes. That baby came out. No C-section. And I just looked, I said, I didn't know how. I didn't know the doctor was going to give us a second chance. I just knew that when I asked, I heard no. And then I wanted to be very clear because I'm like, Lord, am I supposed to stand up like Moses? Let my people go, you know? I'm like, and how does that look to a doctor about ready to cut her open to take a baby out? I'd be like, I don't know how this is going to go down. What is my part to play in this, Lord? And if I miss it, would it be a sin? And I heard very good, no, it's not a sin. You're fine. It's more your choice. And so I didn't know how this was supposed to happen. But at the last moment, we didn't have to have a C-section. Now, your story may look very different, and you may have had a C-section. Nothing wrong with that. Your pathway, you may didn't care about eating. You're here like, just get this thing out of me and put something in my veins that I don't even have to chew. I'm exhausted. That may have been you, and that's fine. And so one of the things we talked about comparing, we don't compare our healing to someone else's healing. Because we're walking with Jesus with our own relationship. And if I begin to compare, maybe you had a C-section, you're not supposed to walk out of this place and say, oh, I missed it. I was a sin. I could have been a contender. You know, thank you. Very few people got that. But you know, you could have been something. You could have done something different in your life. And you may start comparing and saying, walk should have looked more. No, 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 no. Your walk is meant to look different than my walk. And my walk is to look much different. And you're going to need things in your life that I don't need in mine to stand in my calling. And so yours is going to look different. And I may have to, you know, and this is something else too. There may be something in me that needs to change for me to stand in my place. That if I had this in my life, I could never get in my place. Or if I had this in my life, it would crush me in my place. And so all of a sudden, I got to deal with something that you don't have to deal with. And actually, you can do what this may not have been a sin, but it may have been a hang-up. And so I got to get rid of some hang-ups in my life that you look at and say, well, let me say this. Maybe Roseanne, and I've seen this before, maybe Roseanne can watch movies I can't watch. And I am not talking about websites we ain't supposed to go to. We all know that, and sites. I ain't talking about movies like that. I'm talking about, like, maybe she can watch a scary movie, and God convicts my heart. I'm not saying you. I know, me too. You know why I hate scary movies? I get scared.
Exactly.
I get scared. My friends tricked me to a movie one time, and I didn't know it was a horror movie because I was going to college and working full time, and they tricked me because they know I don't watch horror movies. And in the middle of the movie, I remember they told me it was a comedy. I said, when does this get funny? Because it's not funny. And they laughed. I said, just a minute. And I'm so gullible, I believed them. I think I'm getting better. But okay, it'll get funny soon. And so I'm watching, and all of a sudden, the woman is running from someone trying to kill her, and she's falling, and she's on the ground, and she's like, you know, crying. I jump up in the theater, packed full, and I yell, run, you stupid, get up and run! Get up and run! Everyone in the theater laughs because they think I'm doing it as a joke.
Oh.
They think I'm trying to be funny. No, I was scared, and I wanted that idiot to run. I didn't want her to be, and then hide in a dark closet. Don't go to a dark closet. Keep running. But anyway, your walk may look different. So my point is they may be able to watch a movie that you can't watch. Can I tell you something? Movies that I can watch that my mom can't watch. I can watch war movies. I can watch gruesome war movies, and it doesn't bother me. But my mom has to walk out of them. She can't handle them. Why? Because her heart and her calling is different than mine. And there's a sensitivity that she has to stay at, and it affects her in a way that it doesn't affect me. So she has to stand in her place and be led by the Spirit of God in her place. But it would be so easy, and this is what the church has done. It stood up and said, if you do that, it is a sin. God has moved on my heart, and I know if it's for me, it's for all of you. And they preach condemnation instead of the word. They have preached religion instead of relationship. And in your healing, your key is your relationship. Your key is your call and walk with God. Your key is to hear and be obedient. I got seven things I want to talk about, seven blessings. We're just starting right now. I did that for her. There's seven exchanges that happened on the cross. And I want to talk about those exchanges. What God gave us and what God took from us. And we'll be ending. He took away death so we could have eternal life. Amen. Now in this, I've already told you, there comes a place that death, you don't feel it. Like I told you, I split my leg open. When I fell, most of you will not know what this is, but an oyster cleaner. Who enjoys oysters? Thank you for supporting my local area and our hard workers and in Florida, in the Northwest Panhandle. We appreciate that. But my uncle owned a crab shack that processed oysters, cooked crabs, all that good stuff. So when he shut his business down, the equipment was inside. Well, steel was at a high price. So someone broke in with a blowtorch and cut up the equipment to take the steel. Well, me and my cousin would run and we'd play tag. It was the most amazing place to play hide and seek. And it still had power, so the equipment still worked. And they had this thing that picks up this humongous bucket full of crabs and cooks them in this steamer. And so we would tie rope around us or have a belt and put that on us and have the controller in our hand and make it pick us up. And we would pretend we flew through the air. It was the greatest place to play with no adult supervision. It was wonderful. And so I am running. I'm it, and I'm going to tag him, and I am running after him. I'm looking up on him. He's on the second layer, and I'm down at the bottom running on the oyster cleaner. It's got this steel grate that runs on the beside it. And so I'm running. Well, I did not see the place that someone came in and cut the steel, and they left a piece of steel sticking out. And when I fell, that steel caught my ankle, ripped me all the way up to my knee. I fell on the ground. I looked up at him, and I began to laugh. I laughed because I fell. I'm like, just laughed. And then the look of horror is on his face. And I'm thinking, huh, what's wrong with him? And then I look down. I see the bone in my leg. I see the leg flayed open and blood pouring out of me. I freaked out, jumped up, and I held my leg together and I ran. To who? My mama. Now, they had a gas station and store. This is the coolest thing. My grandmother, she went into my mom. I remember her picking me up and I remember going, oh, God. I remember that. That moment, that look on her face, that voice, that trembling. I will never forget that. That is ingrained in my mind where I knew this is very serious. And she ran me to my grandmother's little store. They had a gas station and store, and we were right there. She runs me in. My grandmother went into ninja style. She went and got a skirt that was for sale. She ripped it. She went and got a plunger, and she broke it off on the counter. I mean, she hit it, and just the plunger went flying. And she wrapped my leg, and then she did a tourniquet. And I remember, one, I remember my two cousins and my sister crying. I remember my youngest cousin looking at him and says, I loved him so much. He was my favorite cousin. And then my other cousin said, I hate that he's going to die. I didn't even think I was going to die. I look at my mother and said, I'm going to die? And she's like, no, baby, you're going to be fine. She turns around, yo, shut up. All of you, shut up. I remember that. And my grandmother, who was a nurse at a school at one time, looked at my mother and said, get him to the hospital.
drive as fast as you can. Do not go to Panama and Tallahassee. That's the places we went to for care. He said, take them to Appalachia. We never went there. You die when you go there. It was just a small hick town that's been shut down a couple of times. It's back open now. I'm hoping they're doing better. But they said, you have to go there. You don't have time to go anywhere else. They took me there. And the rest is history. They sewed me up, and I'm good. But it really was the hand of God. But I say all of that to get to a point of that God took death away from us. And that sting is away. I felt, I didn't even feel it. The pain came later. The pain came when life began to come back to my body. Just like the disciple who was stoned to death, who looked up and saw heaven, he had no pain. He just moved into eternity. There is a place for the saved that they feel no death of sting. There comes a moment that sting is over. And we walk in victory, even though our body and our life in this flesh is failing. Pain leaves us, and we become more of a spirit. We become who we truly are, and we separate from this flesh. And that pain goes back. It leaves us because the death, a sting of death is gone. That's why I don't fear death, is because I've been close to it more than once. And every time I have, the pain is not there. It's gone. And can I tell you, I've heard testimony after testimony of people that got at the right at the very threshold of dying, and there was no pain. There comes a moment for Christians. Oh, let me tell this. My hospice care worker for my grandfather Sadler, I didn't even know she was in hospice care. I knew who she was. And after he died, she came to me and she said, Tim, I want to tell you something. I've been in this business since I was 18. She was 60. Like 61 or something. I don't remember. Or maybe 59. Somewhere in that area. Her hair was gray. That's all I can really tell you for sure. And she said, I've been in this a long time, and I'm the head. I'm the head of Northwest Florida. I pick who I want. I picked your grandfather because I was convinced he was saved. I was convinced he had a relationship with Jesus. And she said, I only pick those who do. And the reason is because I've been with a lot of people in their death. It's been my business my whole life. She said, those who don't know the Lord, it's painful. It's scary. And she said, in the beginning years, I wept and wept and wept when people left and did not know the Lord. She said, but there came a point in Christians, there was no pain. It was peaceful. And she said, your grandfather left this world and entered into heaven, and he never felt a thing. She said, I'm confident of that. And in this business, it has taught me that when a Christian dies, there is no sting. So I want everyone in this place to be confident. There's no reason to be afraid of death. You open your eyes, you close them here, and you open them in heaven. So he took away death so we could have eternal life, that we would never die, that what he did on the cross was to keep us. Now, two, he also exchanged our sickness for his health. He, God, my God, you know, he exchanged, how do I put this? He exchanged rejection for acceptance. You may have been rejected your whole life, but when you come into the body of Christ, there is an acceptance that come on you. Do you know Jesus, when he was dying, when sin came on him, he said, my God, why have you, what? Forsaken me. When you come in the body, you are no longer forsaken, but you are accepted. Do you notice also when he said, my God, that is the only time he ever used the word God instead of Father? Why? Because he was separate. He became separate from God. He became rejected. God turned his back, and no longer was it Abba Father. No longer was it Father. It was God. It was separate. And so he took our rejection, and he gave us acceptance. That was another thing he did on the cross. He also he exchanged our poverty and gave us prosperity. Now, prosperity does not mean I have a $1 million jet and I'm rolling in Escalades and all the watches up my arm and all that. That's not what prosperity. If that's your idea of prosperity, your idea is wrong. If you can meet all your needs and have leftover to do what God has called you to do, that is prosperity. and God will prosper you. You'll have more than enough in this life. And you know what amazes me? That Americans are, one, in America, are poverty stricken, the lowest of lows in our poverty scale. They're still in the 1% of the world. Our poorest people in the United States are still in the top 1% when you go to the whole world and look at the whole world in comparison. Our nation is blessed. God has prospered our country. God changed on the cross our defeat for his victory. God on the cross took our bondage and gave us freedom. And the last one, he took our punishment and gave us peace. These are the exchanges of the cross. God took from us everything that we deserved, everything that was bad in the world, all the problems that we were facing, and he poured into us. Everything was him. Basically, I heard a minister say it this way. He said, imagine that you have a jug of water that is poison, that is dirty, that is nasty. And you take that water and you pour it into a pot. But that pot has life-giving water. That pot is full of nutrients. That pot has everything good about it. It has antibiotics in it that would kill the germs and all the bad things. And at the same time, you poured them into each other. And what is bad in one pot makes the other pot contaminated. But what is good in the other pot cleanses. It purifies the pot. It causes the pot to become good, to become perfect. He said that's what Jesus did on the cross. He poured everything good, everything about being a son of God out of him and into us. And everything bad about our living and our circumstance and the sin we were in and poured it into him. Do you know, time doesn't exist with God. Jesus, it says he went to hell and paid the price for our sin. Do you know he had to live pretty much eternity for every person? Now, for us, it was 3 days. But God, it was eternity. It was your eternity, my eternity, everyone else's eternity. And he spent no time. He paid the price so that everything good could come into you. God took our sicknesses. He took our sin and nailed them to the cross. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that you took 100% of the curse.